Chapter 36. Bobby. The public prison was full, but not with her people. Laconian guards stood at the corners with weapons drawn, watching the crowd watch the prisoners. Drones buzzed overhead, scanning constantly. On the far side of the steel mesh, men and women sat disconsolately waiting for trial or judgment. Bobby stuffed her fists deep into the pockets of her plain gray jumpsuit. A man at the back of the lowest cell on the left looked a little bit like Holden, but not so much she could talk herself into thinking it was him. Even if they had him, Holden probably wouldn't be put here. This jail was more than half for show, public stocks for a new generation. Anyone with real value to security forces would be somewhere else. Still, she had hoped. It never hurt to hope, except when it did. "Pinche Schwiss alles là," the man next to her said under his breath. She'd been around Belters long enough to translate it in her head. "Lousy kids, all of them." The man who'd said it had long brown-gray hair and an expression as sour as old lemons. She only smiled her agreement. This wasn't a place where she wanted to say anything aloud against the Laconians. It turned out it was just as good she didn't. "Esa all the fucking underground, yeah?" he said. "Things aren't hard enough, now they're killing our goddamn station." Bobby felt her smile grow tighter, less sincere. The rage in the man's eyes wasn't for the invaders who'd swept in, destroyed their defenses, and taken over. It was for the people fighting against them. It was for her. "Hard times," she said, because the drones might be listening. She walked away, heading north along the drum. The straight line of sun above her, the ruins of the engineering decks far away at her back. Being out in public like this left her feeling exposed. The Laconians were everywhere, the checkpoints twice as thick as they'd been before, and everywhere she looked, faces shaped by fear. The Laconians' fear that their control over the station hadn't been enough to stop the underground. The locals' fear of Laconian reprisals. Her fear that she'd be found out, or that she'd broken something she wasn't going to be able to mend. Saba's network had managed to get the warning out pretty well. The death toll in the explosion was low. She'd heard a dozen, and most of them Laconian, but it was hard to know what was true. It was as deep in the culture of the Belt as bones in their bodies that you didn't fuck with the environmental systems. She hadn't thought about the symbolic meaning of her plan, or what it took for Saba and Katria to agree to it. To Bobby, they'd been getting important intelligence and covering their tracks. To the Belters, they'd been saying that they would be free of Laconian rule, even if the only freedom was death. If not everyone on the station signed on for that, she couldn't blame them. A swath of green grass lawn on her right had a classroom's worth of children, a teacher talking about insects and soil. A man on a bicycle rode past her, whistling to let people know he was coming and to clear the path. All the things that had happened before Duarte and Trejo and Singh. She couldn't guess how many of the people she was walking past would have turned her into the authorities if they'd known. How many would have applauded her. There was no way for her to ask. That was the trick of living under the thumb of a dictator. It broke every conversation, even the private ones. The invasion had wounded everyone, one way or another, herself very much included. Her hand terminal chimed, and she plucked it out of her pocket with a sense of dread. The message was from Alex, and all it said was, "When you have a minute." The underground was still using encrypted back channels. The security forces wouldn't see the message in their logs, But if Bobby got picked up, or someone looked over her shoulder, the words would be innocuous. Saba's cramped halls and corridors were the only place they could speak freely. Everywhere else on Medina had become the land of subtext. She found an escalator and let it carry her down into the body of the drum. It wasn't far to the entry to Saba's alternate station, but they all had to be careful to see they weren't followed. Their bubble of freedom was fragile, and once it popped, it wouldn't come back. Alex was waiting for her when she ducked into the access corridor. The flesh under his eyes looked ashy, and his shoulders slumped like he was under a higher gravity than they were. He smiled, though, and that her friend seemed pleased to see her counted for a lot. For more than it should have, even.
"How's the weather out there?"
he asked, as they made their way down toward the makeshift galley.
"Stormy," she said.
"Get the feeling it'll get worse before it gets better."
That was a given.
In the galley, half a dozen of Saba's people sat at the tables talking. The air smelled like noodles and black sauce, but the food was gone. Bobby wasn't hungry anyway. One of Katria's men, a crooked-nosed guy named Jordao, nodded to her, smiling a little too widely. She nodded back with a sense of dread. This was not a time she wanted someone hitting on her. "Any word?" she asked, her voice low even though security wouldn't hear her. She wasn't afraid of being found out here, but the wounds were fresh. Some things didn't need to travel outside the family.
"On Holden?"
"No," Alex said.
"Okay," Bobby said.
It cut her a little every time there was nothing, and she welcomed it. If it came back that she'd killed him, the hurt would be a million times worse. Every little wound was a good thing, because it wasn't the killing blow.
"That stuff Naomi pulled off the encryption machine?
It's working.
Saba's folks are able to dig through a bunch of stuff we intercepted before. Of course, the storm's not talking to Medina anymore since we blew the channel, so we're not getting anything new. But it makes it rough for the bad guys that they can't have their ship to talk to the station without radio or tight beam, so..."
He trailed off, like his words were running out of pressure.
"So we won," she said. "Go us." "Doesn't feel like it, does it? I keep asking myself what the hell happened."
"We lost Holden." Alex shook his head, tapped four fingers on the table.
"Yep, and that's hard. But something happened before that. We've faced all kinds of bad before now, and it never split up the family. It was always everyone else, never us. Now Naomi's off in her room, and Amos is wherever the hell Amos is. You're going for long walks. We used to be a crew. Now it's me and Claire playing cards and worrying about everyone."
She heard the accusation in his voice, and she wanted to push back at him. Only he was right. Something deeper was wrong. Had been wrong. In the hallway, Saba's voice. A woman replied. It was all too quiet to make out the words. The people at the other table laughed about something. Bobby hunched forward, her scowl deep enough to ache. "Holden's not just Holden," she said, knowing it was an evasion, but saying it anyway. "He's the face of the Rocinante. He's been on news feed since before I joined up. He's the special man. We pulled this thing off, and we lost one person in the operation. That's a win. If it had been you or me or Claire that got caught, we'd still be celebrating. But it was Holden. Now it feels like we lost our good luck charm."
"Feels like that to them, sure,"
Alex said, pointing to the others with his thumb.
"But we lost him before, and it didn't break us. Him and Naomi retiring was sad. And then he didn't go away, and that was weird."
"Yeah," The whole Captain Draper thing might have worked if he'd actually been out of the picture.
Alex leaned forward, talking over her. But we know better. Whatever's going on with Amos and you, it didn't start when Holden left, or when he came back. It was when that big-ass ship steamed through the gate from Laconia and fucked everything sideways. And now Naomi's curled up in her bunk while everything's still on fire.
She's not helping with the decrypt?
Alex shook his head once, sharply.
She can't pull back, Bobby said. She's the best tech on the station.
Saba's people are fine, but she's better. She can't just stop working because her lover's dead. Or worse.
Bobby felt the hurt and the guilt again.
We need her, Alex agreed. I'll have a talk with her if you want. Unless you want to be the one who kicks her butt.
I really don't.
Good, because I don't want to be the one who tells Amos to get his shit together. So that one's on you.
To Bobby's surprise, she smiled. For a moment, she could pretend the cramped little galley was the Rocinante. That she and Alex were burning between gates and the stars. She put a hand on his arm, grateful that her friend was there, and that however shitty things got, the plan was still to fix them. Alex's smile was enough to show he understood everything she hadn't spoken.
Right, he said. You're Naomi, I'm Amos. Then if Holden's still alive, we find him, crack him loose, and get the hell out of Dodge before the next big-ass ship comes through that gate.
See?
Now you're talking sense, Alex said.
He sighed.
Which is good, because I thought I was going to have to tell you to stop sulking, and I really wasn't looking forward to the part where you punched me in the mouth.
Saba stood at the wider part of the hallway where an access panel had been taken out and never replaced. He held his arms above his head, bracing against the ceiling with the unconscious ease of somebody ready for a ship that might move unexpectedly. He lifted his chin as Bobby came close.
Hey, I'm looking for Amos, she said.
Problem?
Tell you when I find out, she said. He's not answering his comms.
Saba's brow furrowed.
Que Shansi K is after Holden?
I wouldn't put the odds high that he'd go on an extraction by himself, Bobby said. Then a moment later, I mean, not zero, but not high.
See it stays if you can, Saba said. We're carrying plenty enough already and more rolling down, yeah?
Something in his voice caught her. More news?
Saba hesitated, then shifted his head.
Come this way.
You looking for yours, me looking for you.
You want the good word first, or the worrying?
Good, Bobby said. I'm looking for good.
Word from Okoyo and the cleaning crew is Holden's alive. Locked down tight, but not dead.
A tightness released in Bobby's gut. Whatever else happened, she hadn't killed him. And more than that, when she found Amos, she'd have it on her side. She felt a deep gratitude that she'd run into Saba before he'd found him. She had to let Alex know, and Naomi, and everyone. The relief was profound.
That's okay. What's the worrying?
Message from the Union. From the spy repeater.
Wait, Bobby said, following him as he walked toward his cabin.
We've got communications lines open? I thought we shut that down.
Turned it back on for this, Saba said. It ate a missile right after. Drummer thought it was worth burning the channel for.
Something big then. Comme si.
Saba had Drummer's message up on his cabin's monitor. The change in her face was shocking. It wasn't only that the president looked tired and thinner. She looked older, like the last few weeks had been measured in years instead of days. Saba didn't speak, but started the message from the beginning.
Bobby listened until the end,
then played it again, making sure she understood. The loss of Pallas, and the loss of time.
Well, she said, holy shit.
Yeah, Saba said. Got my people going through all the information we intercepted. All that's finished decrypting, anyway. Nothing about lost time or boiling up the vacuum.
Even if we found something, it's not like we can sneak a message back if the repeater's dead.
Not sneak one, no, Saba agreed. Can shout, though, if it was the right time. Medina's not home anymore, not for us. When we scatter, maybe send something back down to people's home. Tell them what we've got to tell them, if we get anything.
Fair point, Bobby agreed. And that is the plan now, right? Clear a path and evacuate as many as we can before the new ship gets here?
Already putting out the word to the underground, he said. He sounded as tired as she was. Just the ones we trust, saying to get ready. Window opens and get to the ships and go. Everyone's someplace different. Harder to kill us if we're not in one place.
Even better if they don't know who went where, Bobby said.
I'd love to find a way to take out Medina's sensor arrays when we go.
Would be sweet, Saba said, his voice dull.
You holding up okay? Bobby asked.
Saba shrugged toward the image of Drummer still on the screen.
That woman is my heart, and I lost her. Lost my ship. Lost my place for my people. Got an enemy ship killing my cities and stations, and now it can turn off mines in a whole system at once. Got another one like it breaking toward me. Got all those marines and power armor ready to shoot me and mine through the brain pan, and the loosest mouth on 1,000 worlds is in the enemy's jail. So, given so, I'm all right.
Holden won't rat us out. He's given a lot of unvetted press releases over the years, but that's not the same as this.
They have him, they'll have us. Not talking him down, but these people were Mars before they were this. Ask anyone in the OPA from the old days, Martian interrogation. It's a question of how long until the break, never if. Better that he died.
We can move, Bobby said. Do you have any holes that Holden didn't know about?
Few, Saba said reluctantly. But fewer now. My people are moving now. Still room for you and yours, but there won't be. Not for long, and...
He shook his head.
And what? Bobby said. If there's something more I need to know.
Saba shrugged and nodded at the screen.
When it comes. If it comes. The one system we can't go to?
So.
Any place else I can try for. Any place else I can go. But no matter where it is, she won't be there. Wasn't so bad when the repeater still was, but with it gone, it feels...
A tear tracked down Saba's brown cheek. Bobby looked away. It was so easy to forget all the others. Not just Saba, but all of them. The crews of all the ships trapped in the dock beside the Rossi. The children in Medina's schoolrooms, the medical staff in the clinics. The artists playing music live outside the cafes out of love of doing it. Medina Station had been the nearest thing to a void city before the void cities were built. It was a home for a generation of people, and every one of them was carrying something now that made their days harder. She thought of the prisoners in the public jail, the angry man who'd come to watch them. Who had he lost back on Sol? What was keeping him awake in the nights? There were so many families, so many crews, parents and children, lovers and friends, whose lives had been changed past recognition since Laconia Gate had opened. It wasn't just her and the Rossi crew. It wasn't just Saba.
Everyone was dancing on this same landslide, and no one knew how to make it end well. She wanted to say something comforting, but she couldn't bring herself to lie. The best she could think of was to change the subject. "When we get out," she said, "not if, when, we're going to need a plan. If every ship just bolts off on its own, we'll lose contact. They shouldn't know where we went, but we should. At the very least, we should have a record of who went where." This every man for himself and God against all shit's romantic, but we have to plan for something past just this. Saba nodded. In the distance, voices and footsteps. "Not just encrypted, but in code," Saba said. "Something where only we know what it means." "We?" "U'ime," Saba said. "Leaders of the underground, us. First among dissidents." Bobby chuckled. "Well, there's a fucking job title." The footsteps came faster now, coming closer. Saba looked up like an animal smelling smoke. Fuck, Bobby thought. Not something else. It's too much already. We can't carry something else. The woman who appeared in Saba's doorway was older, white-haired, pulled back in a tight braid. Her body was long and thin, her head a little too large for her shoulders, the classic build of someone who'd grown up without gravity to hold her down. She even had the split circle of the OPA tattooed on her arm. She should have looked ancient, but the brightness in her eyes belonged in a woman a third her age. She looked from Saba to Bobby and back with something like triumph in her eyes. "Maha?" Saba said. "Ke?" And then to Bobby. "Maha, one of our best communication techs. Had her hands in the code since before I was born, yeah? And I know all their secrets," she said in a weirdly accented voice. She held out a dumb terminal that wasn't connected to Medina's system. "The new decryption run turned over some stones, and look you, what was squirming under one." Bobby was closer. She took the handheld terminal and flipped through the file there. It was titled, "Medina Station Supplementary Security Review as Requested by Governor Santiago Singh." The file's creator was listed as Major Lester Overstreet. She checked the file length and whistled. "Ke?" Saba said. "This is way too long to just be an incident report," Bobby said. "It's..." The section headings were materials, procedures, personnel, protocols, audit summary, recommendations. She recognized the style of paragraph marking from when she'd trained back on Olympus Mons. It looked like an MMC security report, but twice as long. Maybe three times. She shifted through one after another, her head starting to swim a little. "I think, Saba, I think this is everything," she said.